The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
This obviously is a saxophone. I started learning the saxophone at 11 years of age. I worked out this afternoon. That was actually 25 years ago. Like, whoa, that's a bit scary. Quarter of a century, I know. Wow, where did all that time go? I don't know if you ever thought about how sound is produced. What is sound? You ever thought about that? The mechanics of sound? From the saxophone's point of view, there's a little piece of wood at the end of the mouthpiece here, a bit of cane, very thin bit of cane, less than a millimeter, like just a fraction of a millimeter thick. And when I blow into the saxophone, the little piece of cane vibrates really quick. And, it just creates this vibrating column of air through this tubular instrument here. And then I can manipulate how long or short the column of air is by, how many holes I cover up. So,
I can create a high sound with a short column of air, or a low sound,
just by manipulating the column of air. And that's all sound is air that vibrates. In fact, I think I might even I have a graph here, I hope, if I turn this on, of a sound wave. This is actually a graph of a sound wave of my voice. And my voice works the same way as the saxophone. I've got, so does your voice, some vocal cords in here. And when the air that gets pushed up from your diaphragm out of your lungs goes across your vocal folds, they vibrate and you manipulate your mouth to create words and sound. And sound is just vibrating air. It's all it is. Same when you pluck a guitar string. The string vibrates and creates vibrations around in the air around it and creates a sound wave that will look different to that one, but it's the same sort of phenomenon. It's just sound is air that vibrates is the scientific thing for it. And I'll put this down for 1 second.
Our passage tonight
is all to do with sound. It's all to do with sound. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verses 14 to 23. It'll be on the screen. And this is part of our David series. It's all about sound. And let's read this passage and we'll observe what's going on here as David uses sound. David was a musician. And this passage, in terms of the chronology of his life, comes just after he's been anointed by Samuel. So if you remember that story, the prophet Samuel comes, chooses David. He's the last of his, wasn't even at the party, but Samuel gets him and from the sheep fields and anoints him. And it says, after he was anointed, the Holy Spirit fell upon him in power. It says, some translations say it rushed upon him. And then the very next passage is this one. So let me read this to you from 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 to 23. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service, and Saul liked him very much. And David became one of his armor-bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the spirit from God came upon Saul, that's the evil spirit, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. Interesting passage. So what's going on here? Saul's being tormented by an evil spirit. Now, it says an evil spirit from God, and if that raises questions in your mind, that's fair enough. And we don't have time tonight to unpack what that phrase means, but It's not that God sent that evil spirit from himself or that the evil spirit is part of God, but that God allows this evil spirit, this demonic spirit, to come and torment Saul is probably the easiest explanation for now. But if you have more questions about that, it's worth studying and digging up what is actually going on there. So his servants suggest finding a musician to play when the evil spirit is tormenting him. They find David, who's just been anointed by Samuel, full of the Holy Spirit. And when David makes air vibrate from plucking his lyre, the evil spirit flees. David's making a physical sound on his harp. However, somehow his music is having a spiritual effect. What's going on here? It's just vibrating air. That's all. We saw the wave before. It's a physical thing. How does this music have a spiritual effect when it's just vibrating air? I find this fascinating concept in the Bible. In the Bible, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, the word for spirit is the same word that is used for wind and breath. In fact, you would recognize the Greek word used for spirit in the New Testament. It's the word pneuma, from which we get the words pneumatic, for instance, or pneumonia. They have to do with air, with breath, that kind of thing, but also spirit in the Bible. And so depending on the context of the passage, the same word will be translated wind in one context or spirit in another context. For example, I hope that's not too small. It's small down there, but not too bad here. Genesis 1 verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But in Genesis 8 verse 1, God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Same word for spirit and wind. Or in Jeremiah 10, everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. The images he makes are a fraud. They have no breath in them. Same word again. Spirit, wind, breath. Same word that's used for these different ideas, but there's a link somehow between them. So when David's playing before Saul, all he's doing in a natural sense is making air vibrate to create sound. However, because there's a connection between air, breath, wind, and spirit, his music has a spiritual effect as well. David, full of the Holy Spirit, plays his lyre or his harp, and the sound of the harp releases a spiritual sound wave, a Holy Spirit frequency that drives away the evil spirit. So the physical and the spiritual intersect more than we think. You know, we think of the spiritual realm as something out there, and the spiritual and the physical, the spiritual and the material are very distinct from one another, and it's hard to have crossover, right? But that's not how God's created the world so much. There's more spiritual and physical link than we understand. And I think this is one of those little windows where sound and spirit link up together. And look, I'm no expert on this. In fact, there's people in this room, Andrew or Brett, that have much greater insight into the spiritual realm than me. But I'm speaking, as a musician tonight, and what I've experienced and have studied the scriptures and realizing, hey, there's something going on here that's more than just air vibrating and emotions getting stirred, right? And that's what I want to get across tonight. And there's another example, you know, aside from David and Saul in the scriptures. Well, we'll go there for a second. The thing we want to take away from tonight is that sound can be a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. Vehicle transport stuff. Sound can transport spirit. Another example is in 2 Kings chapter 3. The prophet Elisha is called upon to make a prophecy. And he needs to prophesy on the spot, on command. Prophesy, prophet. And what does he do? He says, bring me a harpist. And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, this is what the Lord says. So these two examples show us that There's some spiritual connection between sound and spirit. And not only can sound, music, drive away evil spirits, it can create an environment for a God encounter where the prophet can hear from God and release the word of God. So it's not just air vibrating. There's some other dynamic going on with the sound that's being made that opens up the spirit realm and creates even God encounter. Isn't that wild? This is one of the reasons why, well, before we go there, this quote sort of sums it up. Sound and music not only impact the physical universe, they connect us with the spiritual realms and spiritual realities. Dan McCollum's an American worship leader I've heard speak a bunch of times. So this is one of the reasons why music is such a big part of our worship together. Our musicians who are full of the Holy Spirit play skillfully and release a sound that can both drive away demonic influence and create an atmosphere for us to experience God. That's one of the reasons why music is so important to the church. Our musos are not simply here to provide backing for singing, although that's a large part of what they do. But the actual playing itself, aside from any words sung, has the potential to carry the Holy Spirit. David played instrumental music for Saul. No words. No theological statement went alongside with it. No declarations about the power of God, just the harp. Just the harp. And yet somehow that was enough to bring relief to Saul and drive away the evil spirit. Sound can be a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. If it can be a vehicle for the Holy Spirit, it can also be a vehicle for demonic spirits. Sound is a vehicle for spirit in general, right? And music is a very powerful medium. And this is one of the reasons why we should be really careful about what we listen to. Not just the genre. It's not about heavy rock versus, you know, adult contemporary chilled out stuff. It's not about genre at all. In fact, some chilled out acoustic pop can carry demonic spirits just as powerfully as some screamo metal band singing about the devil, and vice versa. Screamo metal can carry the Holy Spirit. It's not about genre. It's about the atmosphere and the spirit that's being released by the song. So when we think about the music that we're going to listen to, we're asking ourselves, what kind of spirit is this releasing over me, over my house, over my family? Yes, it's about the words being sung, but also what kind of vibe is this leaving in me, you know? That's the question, not about genre. It's not about rock and roll versus, it's not about organ versus guitars or drums or any of that kind of stuff. It's all about spirit that's being created. The rest is preference and, you know, what we personally like and don't like, and that's fine. Music can carry spirit, good and bad spirits. Sorry. If this is true, this is not just a sermon for musicians, by the way. If this is true for music, it's also true for the words that we speak, because words are sound as well, right? Words, the sound that we make out of here, can carry spirit as well. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The words that I've spoken to you are spirit. In fact, interestingly, when I was thinking about the sermon and I was chatting to my dad about it, I said something like, isn't it interesting how in the New Testament when demons are cast out of people, they often come out with a shriek or with a yell. The spirit departs with a wah! Because spirit travels on sound, right? And then Dad said something interesting to me out of his personal experience. He said he'd been dealing with people that had been demonized years ago, and sometimes their breath would turn foul when the demon manifested. I thought, that's interesting. Spirit, wind, breath. So the evil spirit manifested by this feral, yucky breath. See, that's fascinating. When Lacey and I were first married, we took a short trip to Japan about 3 months after we were married, and we had a good time there. One of the hotels we stayed in was this traditional Japanese hotel, and it was nice, and it was all set up in this traditional Japanese style, you know, with the rice paper walls, and you sleep sort of on this mattress on the ground. It's very nice. But in the middle of the night, we woke up feeling really distressed, like, what is going on? Like, just, there was evil in the room. It just was yucky. We were both feeling distressed. Like, what is going on? We just woke up both together and just like, oh. And we started to pray and felt some discernment. There was an evil spirit in the room, perhaps from a Buddhist image, or I can't remember if there was an image or a picture in the room that was part of the decor. And it was just like, oh, this is yucky. And I think it was Lacey's suggestion that I think we should sing. It's just the two of us in the middle of the night, you know. Anyway, so you think it would be me that would come up with the suggestion. I'm the worship leader, but she's like, I think we need to sing. Anyway, so the two of us started singing. We just started singing a simple song about the victory of Jesus on the cross. And within about 2 minutes, the atmosphere of the room had changed completely. It was amazing. From this sense of evil, like your skin crawling, like, whoa, to like total peace. And we went back to sleep and had a beautiful night's sleep. What's going on there? Even the feeble song of two half-asleep people in the middle of the night when singing about the victory of Jesus has power to drive away evil. Crazy. I have a friend who goes to another church. He's a pretty introverted kind of guy. He's amazingly creative, but he's not a musician, and he's certainly not a singer. And he once told me something I've always found really interesting. He said at church he didn't want to sing because he didn't feel like he was a good singer. It wasn't really his thing. And so he just tried to worship God in his mind. He'd stand there and, I don't know how it would work, just try to sing the song internally. And he said, I could just never connect with God. Like, I just never felt like I was really connecting. So he decided, in spite of his feeble singing voice, he'd just start to open his mouth and sing along with everybody else. And he discovered that he actually encountered God a lot more. Why? Because spirit and breath and sound go together. And so the simple act of singing out the praises of God opened up a spiritual encounter for him. Crazy. John 4:24, God is spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says, you are holy, God, talking to God, enthroned or dwelling on the praises of Israel. So this is at least part of what it means to worship in spirit. It's as simple as opening your mouth and declaring the praises of God, and you are creating a place for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell on praise and have an encounter with God that you can't otherwise if you just stay silent. This is the power of sound. If God is spirit, and he dwells on praise, and if spirit and breath and wind and sound are all connected, then the simple act of just declaring God's praise creates his window where you can experience God in a way that you can't otherwise. Ephesians 5 says that even one of the ways of being filled with the Spirit is to sing. We're just making melody in your heart with the Lord. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing is at least one of the ways that you can be refilled with the Spirit. See, it's more than just air vibrating. It's more than just noise. The physical and the spiritual linked together in this mysterious way, and the spiritual realm is opened up to us. See, some people see corporate worship as primarily declaring truth about God, so that we are reminded about who God is, and that's part of it. But in that way, worship just becomes an intellectual exercise. However, while declaring truth is important, worship is first a spiritual encounter. We worship in spirit and in truth. Sometimes I get asked, why do some of our songs have O's and woes in them? Like in the first song we sang, oh. People are like, why do we sing that? Like, it's a non-word. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's not declaring who God is and the theology of who God is. Fair point. But that's the intellectual view of worship, where worship is us declaring truth about God to remind ourselves about who God is. Not the spiritual part of worship, where sound carries spirit. And even O's and woes, just like a harp that's plucked, can open up the spirit to us. Even non-words, when sung with a heart of worship, does that sound sacrilegious? They're like, no, it's got to be theologically sound. No. Where's the theology in an O and O? Well, where's the theology in a string that's plucked? It's just air vibrating. But no, it's not, because the physical and the spiritual go like this. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift where most often you don't know what you're saying. You're praying and declaring things that you don't understand. Again, if you approach this from an intellectual point of view, you'd wonder, what's the good of this gift? I don't know. What am I getting out of it? I can't understand what's going on. And many Christians never seek the gift of tongues because they don't understand it up here. However, when you speak in tongues, you're releasing the Spirit through your words. And my experience, at least, is that praying in tongues helps me to become aware of God's presence and tune into Him. Because again, sound, it's a Holy Spirit sound, a Holy Spirit language is being released through my vocal cords, but it's opening up the Spirit for me. And Paul says, well, I think I've got this up here. What will I do? I'll pray with my spirit and with my understanding. I'll sing with my spirit and with my understanding. They go together, don't they? But do you know what? The devil wants to keep us quiet. Have you ever noticed that when life's tough, you don't feel like praising God? When the squeeze is on, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to sit back and relax tonight. I'm not going to get into it. The devil loves to keep us quiet because he knows the power of sound and he knows the spiritual effect it has. He knows the power of God's people releasing the sound of praise through music and through words, and he'll do anything he can to keep you quiet and to keep you from praising God. He loves to keep us quiet. He loves to make sure our meetings never take off in a spiritual sense because he knows it's powerful. A spiritual portal, a window can be opened up. When you don't feel like praising God is exactly the time where you should raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to sing. Because singing is warfare. It's our weapon. We sang it before. Our weapon is a melody. The devil loves to keep you quiet. And he'll do it if he can. So you might think, you know, that's the devil keeping us quiet, by the way. You might think, okay, well, how does this work? It's not magic, you know. It's not just a matter of saying the right words. It's not like we're doing some kind of witchcraft thing here where you just say the right words and therefore that opens up the spirit. That's not how it works. Just singing or saying the right words doesn't necessarily carry spirit or this spirit. And likewise, not every sound carries a spirit. There's plenty of random noise in the world that's just simply noise. So the question is, well, how do we release spirit? Is that a fair enough question? This question has a simple answer, but it sort of has a complicated way of getting there. So hang on just for one second. In Hebrew literature, there's this term that, especially in Hebrew poetry, there's this term called synonymous parallelism. You don't need to remember that term, but it basically means they often say the same thing in a different way, line after line. For example, this is an example of synonymous parallelism, or saying the same thing in a different way. For fire went out from Heshbon, that's a place, flame from the city of Sihon. Now, Heshbon is a place and Sihon is the king of that place. So those two lines say the same thing, right, but in a different way. That's synonymous parallelism. And as I was studying this thing about spirit, I noticed something interesting. Notice the parallelism that's going on here in Psalm 51. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. Psalm 78. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Psalm 143. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. So what's the connection here? Spirit and heart go together in some way. When we think about our hearts is the place that controls our emotions. I don't understand fully the theology of it, but you know the phrase "with all my heart" just means that you mean it, right? If you say that you love someone with all your heart, you're saying that you really love them. You really mean it. If your heart's engaged, you're serious about it, right? So that's the answer to the question. We know we're releasing spirit when our hearts are engaged in the exercise. Because there's a connection, heart and spirit. Heart, just mean it. Just be passionate about it. Just do it like you're like this means something, you know? Authentic. Mean it. That's how we release spirit. That's why worship leaders often encouraging people to engage with what's happening, to be in it, you know. So you might be thinking, you know, there's obviously broader applications for this than just worship, you know. Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So the words that we speak over ourselves, over our family, over our friends can carry spirit, good and bad. And we want to be those that release spirit and life, the Holy Spirit, don't we? So be careful about the kinds of words you speak and what you let into your life. You know, I think the point's been made. I think you can, you know, for yourself, you can think of your own application. You may understand all this already, and that's great. If you don't, I encourage you, step into the tool that God's given us in music and sound to release spirit, right? You can use, to try something like this in your quiet time at home, use instrumental music as you pray or as you're reading the Bible, if that helps you. Because that's a spiritual exercise as well. Use it. Use spirit-filled music to create an atmosphere in your home, in your bedroom, where you can encounter God more easily. Pray the scriptures out loud. Pray out loud even when you're at home by yourself, instead of just in your mind. It's the words that you speak, release spirit, right? If you're in a prayer meeting, I find this the funniest thing. A whole bunch of talkative people will be going for it, you know, say before a church prayer meeting, and someone will say, okay, now we're going to pray. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody sucked all the air out of the room. The room just goes totally quiet. And then like, there's, okay, we're praying. And you can hear the crickets chirping. A couple of people will pray out. Most people won't in the room. If you're in a prayer meeting and you know that words can release spirit, you should make it your goal in every prayer meeting that you're in. I'm going to pray out loud because there's something of God in me and something unique of God in me. And as I release my prayer, that's actually going to benefit the whole group and help us to move on in what God's doing in the prayer meeting in the room. You should make it your goal to get over the fear of praying out loud, if that's a fear for you, and be like, no, God's in here. And my simple little sound, it doesn't even have to be theologically profound or correct. It just comes out of a heart that wants to pray to God and wants to cry out to God or praise God. As I release my little sound, that's actually opening up something of the Spirit for me and for the group. So I'm not going to sit silent in a prayer meeting and selfishly hold back what God might want to release. I'm going to contribute to this thing. I just find that the funniest thing, like, chat, 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 pray. How does that happen? Should be the opposite. We should be climbing over one another to release our prayers to the Lord. The gift of tongues. Can I encourage you, if you have not experienced the joy of the gift of tongues, and to start to ask God to release that gift in you. It's a great gift. I find it's a gift that releases some of the other gifts of the Spirit. Some people call it the beginner's gift. You start with tongues and then some of the others get opened up as well, because it's like it, because we don't, gets our mind out of the way, opens us up to the Spirit more easily. If you don't speak in tongues, I'd start to ask God, God, is this a gift that you have for me? Start to ask God for it. In fact, I'd love to pray with anyone tonight who doesn't speak in tongues and would like to. It's a great, great gift. In fact, any gift from God is worth seeking after. Any gift from God is worth it. He doesn't give dud gifts. Does he? Does God give dud gifts? No, he only gives the best. That includes the gift of speaking in unknown languages. So, sound is a vehicle for spirit. I've gone longer than I anticipated or wanted to tonight, but I just wanted to spend perhaps just the last 10 minutes And let's worship together with this information in mind now. You might be one of those people that will just sit back and not sing and not get involved, but experiment. Engage your heart and just sing out for a few minutes, believing that God will just open up something new for you. And as you carry this into your week, God, how can I use the power of sound to open up the spirit realm to me more easily than I have in the past? So why don't the band come back, and why don't we stand and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you just for the amazing way that you created your world, where the physical and the spiritual interact in mysterious ways that I certainly don't understand, but are revealed to us in your word. And just thank you, Holy Spirit, that tonight you are revealing something to us that perhaps for some is unfamiliar or has, you know, not been heard before. But God, I just pray that we would be those that learn how to worship you in spirit, not just truth, but spirit and truth. And we learn how to engage the spirit realm more easily because it's our right in Christ. We are spiritual people and we are made to encounter the spiritual realm. It doesn't have to be difficult, doesn't have to be spooky, doesn't have to be for just those that are super spiritual people. It's just natural because it's part of the way God's made the world. So Lord, even tonight, open up the spirit realm to us, Lord. Even as sounds are played and sung, open up our hearts.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.